Good morning. I'm Aaron Winiwski. I'm the pastor here. And if you know me at all, you know that I am a movie fan. So last week, Michelle and I had an opportunity to do some work in Orlando, and we're able to take some time and go have some fun at a park where we got to like be in the movies. It was awesome. And as I think about movies and what I enjoy about them and seeing the heroes, and there's this aspect of stories that we like to tell that is so important. It's the origin. So like when you think about superhero movies, you got to ask the question, well, where did Spider-Man get his Spidey powers? When was the first time Bruce Banner became the Hulk? Why does Bruce Wayne put on a black costume and fight crime? There's an origin somewhere in all of this stuff. Why does Clark Kent put on red undies and fly around? You know, let me share with you a teaser from an older film about Superman, because these origins get told and retold and retold. This one actually goes back to the 70s Superman movie. It takes the Marlon Brando voice and puts it over a more modern, but not the most modern. But I want you to listen for origin. I want you to listen for roots is our theme. Superman's roots. Who is he? Why is he doing what he does? So I'm going to lay on you this trailer.
Even though you've been raised as a human being, you are not one of them.
Awesome. I've seen that dozens of times. I get chills watching that. And hearing this father, Jor-El, giving a message to his son, Kal-El, saying, there's a purpose for you. There's a reason. You're there as a stranger, but there's something bigger that you're called to. The creators of Superman, by the way, this is going to go somewhere biblical. If you haven't been here before, I bring it around. I do. But the creators of Superman, Joe Shuster and Jerry Siegel, they were sons of Jewish immigrants. They were growing up in the Midwest. Growing up in the Midwest during the 20s and 30s, and at that time, of course, in Germany, Jews were being oppressed. They were being slaughtered. So here are these children of Jewish immigrants trying to figure out how to fit in the world that they're a part of now in America, but also feeling this hurt for what's happening to the people who are their roots. So is it any wonder that they create this story? They were teenagers at the time that they met these two co-creators. Is it any wonder that they create this story about a guy who's comes from a different planet, and all he wants to do is fit in? But there's so much going on in the world, so much pain, so much hurt, so much injustice, that he can't sit still. He's got to do something to take a stand for what's right. See, the origin of Superman is, he comes from Krypton, and he's the son of Jor-El and all of that. But it goes even deeper than that when you start to look at who are the guys who created him and what was going on in their mind. Why did they do that? They grew up hearing Old Testament stories, like a story about Moses, who was born into an oppressive situation, and his parents sent him away to be raised by someone who wasn't his culture, someone who's very different from him. But they raised him, and he just wanted to fit in, but there came a point where he couldn't stand the injustice any longer. And God had a call for him and said, I have raised you this way for this purpose. So they're hearing the story of Moses as they grow up. Is it any wonder that they would come up with an idea like Kal-El, Superman, Clark Kent? I see that trailer and I think Messiah. I think about Jesus. That's why I've sent you, my only son. But origin is so important to know why. Where do these powers come from? Why are they doing what they're doing? What are the weaknesses that they have? And we have origins as well. In a survey by Ancestry.com, they discovered that half of Americans know the name of only one or none of their great-grandparents. Think about it for a second. Do you know the names of your great-grandparents? 22% of Americans don't know what either of their grandfathers do or did for a living. 22% don't know. Although America is known as a nation of immigrants, 27% don't know where their family lived before they came to America. Most of us come from families that are immigrated to this country in one way or another, but a lot of us are fairly lacking in our family knowledge. But the same survey shows that people are becoming increasingly interested in their roots. 78% of Americans say they are interested in learning more about their family history. We want to know our origin story. Where did I come from? Why am I the way that I am? We know that patterns are passed on from one generation to the next. Who we are right now is in large part a product of where and who we came from. The good news is we don't have to be stuck in some of the old, unhealthy, sinful patterns that have been passed on to us. As we learn about them, as we acknowledge them, we can make decisions about how we're going to handle them. We can acknowledge some of the great things that come from our history, from our roots, that we may not have realized were there, but that we can embrace and then continue on and pass forward to another generation. Those who put their faith in Christ are adopted into a new lineage, a new family. So it's important that we acknowledge our own family origins and that we learn the roots of the family tree that we're adopted into. Origins, they're important in understanding characters and their motivations. The Apostle Paul said in Colossians chapter 2, starting in verse 6, said, "And now, just as you accepted Christ Jesus as your Lord, you must continue to follow him." We heard this message in the music this morning. Now that you've been made free, live in that freedom. Jesus didn't command his disciples to go and make more converts. He commanded them to go and make more disciples, people who would follow him daily, who would know more and more who it was that they were following. Continuing in verse 7, "Let your roots grow down into him, and let your lives be built on him. Then your faith will grow strong in the truth you were taught, and you will overflow with thankfulness." One of the themes we saw in our previous series is that we are grafted by God into his family tree, like a branch is grafted into a tree. We are to grow in Christ, and that's what Paul is pointing out here, we're to grow in Christ, and as we grow in Christ, we become a blessing to the world. We give through the Spirit. We overflow. So to let our roots grow down into Christ, it's important to know more about who He is. Yes, He is the Son of God. He is also the son of Joseph and Mary. He had great-grandparents. He had siblings. He had a grandpa who had a job. His ancestors were immigrants. It was very important for the first century disciples to record the lineage of Jesus, where He came from, who He came from. There are two genealogies that we have for Jesus. One of them is in Matthew chapter 1, and the other is in Luke chapter 3. And if you read them, they don't match, which people could look at and freak out. What? What's going on here? And yet, sometimes when we hear about things that look like they're contradictions in Scripture, and we hear people say, Scripture's full of contradictions, sometimes we just got to relax for a second and go, okay, these were written by and preserved by people who died in order to pass them on to us. They didn't seem to have a real problem with these two genealogies not matching perfectly. So maybe there's a reasonable explanation. If they were willing to die for it, maybe the weirdo I'm listening to on the internet doesn't know as much about it as they did. So we just got to relax. And there are a couple of different ways to explain this. Now, for the most part, they do match. It's just after King David and closer to the actual birth of Christ, there are some differences. And here's an explanation that I think is compelling, that I'm willing to go with. Matthew is writing to a Jewish audience, and the Jewish audience would have primarily been interested in the legal lineage of Jesus through his legal father, Joseph. Okay, Joseph was not his biological father, God was. But legally, the lineage of Jesus flows through his father, Joseph. Whereas Luke is a physician. He was writing to a Gentile, a non-Jewish audience, who would have been interested in the idea of God incarnate, God in the flesh. So Luke emphasized the physical ancestry through his mother, Mary. Over the next couple of months, we're going to zoom in, focus in on that genealogy from Matthew. And we're going to walk through the key figures in his ancestry. And we'll see quickly that God was not interested in the Messiah, the anointed one, having a squeaky, clean lineage. Matthew even goes outside of convention. He points out some family connections that highlight some embarrassing realities in the roots of Jesus. Let's take a look. Matthew chapter 1, starting in verse 1. The first verse of the first chapter, the first book of the Bible. This is a record of the ancestors of Jesus the Messiah, a descendant of David and of Abraham. It was important to point out those two because God made specific covenants to Abraham and David, and it was clear that the Messiah would come through their lineage. So Matthew is quick to point out that Jesus lines up with God's covenants. Verse 2, Abraham was the father of Isaac. Isaac was the father of Jacob. Jacob was the father of Judah and his brothers. And by the time we finish this series, you're going to read a sentence like that. And if you read it and it's just names to you, by the time we're done with this series, it's going to be alive. You're going to be excited about reading a genealogy and go, I know those guys. That's great. Continuing in verse 3, Judah was the father of Perez and Zerah, whose mother was Tamar. Now this is where Matthew deviates from the traditional way of describing a lineage, which typically would have been a paternal lineage through the fathers. But he inserts here a mother's name. What's interesting, And what we're going to see about Tamar is that not only was she the mother to Perez and Zerah, she was the sister-in-law. So that's going to be an interesting week. Matthew points this out. He draws it out. Anybody who knows this story, they know there's something weird there. And he doesn't let you forget it. He continues, Perez was the father of Hezron. Hezron was the father of Ram. Ram was the father of Amminadab. Amminadab was the father of Nahshon. Nahshon was the father of Salmon. So are we having fun yet? Are you guys getting chills yet? Salmon was the father of Boaz, whose mother was Rahab. Now, poor Rahab. We're going to learn more about her. But almost every time she's mentioned in Scripture, you would think her last name was the prostitute. Because she's always, almost always referred to as Rahab the prostitute. So again, here's Matthew going, oh, by the way, Boaz's mother was Rahab. And anybody who is familiar with the Old Testament would have inserted in their mind, oh, the prostitute, yes. Not an Israelite either. She was a foreigner. Boaz was the father of Obed, whose mother was Ruth. Ruth was a Moabite woman, not an Israelite. So again, Matthew is going, look, remember, I'm telling you about the Messiah, but remember, we do not have a squeaky clean history. Obed was the father of Jesse. Verse 6, Jesse was the father of King David. David was the father of Solomon, whose mother was Bathsheba, the widow of Uriah. Oh, no. There's a story here. Matthew doesn't let us glaze over the fact that Solomon's mother was married to a man named Uriah, who was one of the most loyal soldiers for David. He was listed as one of David's mighty men. But while he was away at war, and David should have been by his side, David saw this woman, the wife of Uriah, and he was attracted to her, and he wanted her. He impregnated her, and in order to cover it up, sent Uriah to war and had the troops pull back to leave him on his own to be killed by the enemies of Israel, a deep, dark betrayal to cover up his sin with Bathsheba. And Matthew doesn't let us forget it. In the lineage of Jesus, he brings it up. Why would he do that? Well, it reminds his original audience and it reminds us not to become proud of our own lineage. Origin stories are important for understanding, but they are not to make us feel important. They are important to help us understand, but they are not there to make us feel important. It also highlights God's grace and His redemptive purposes. He's in the business of absolutely shocking us with His love. What He can make out of a mess just amazes us. This makes sense from an author, Matthew, who before Jesus chose him, was a despised tax collector. If you're a believer, God has adopted you into that lineage. We covered this in greater detail back on September 18th. You can find all the past messages at newdaywi.com. But I'm just going to touch on this passage from Romans chapter 11, starting in verse 17. Paul explains to early believers who were not descendants of Abraham. He says, some of these branches from Abraham's tree, some of the people of Israel, have been broken off. And you Gentiles, non-Jewish people, who were branches from a wild olive tree, have been grafted in. So now, you also receive the blessing God has promised Abraham and his children. Are you hearing the ancestry talk here? Sharing in the rich nourishment from the root of God's special olive tree. But you must not brag about being grafted in to replace the branches that were broken off. You are just a branch, not the root. The line of Abraham is our nourishing root system, particularly Jesus Christ. Paul explains to a church in Galatians chapter 4, starting at verse 4, "But when the right time came, God sent His Son, born of a woman, subject to the law." Hear the lineage talk that's going on here. "God sent Him to buy freedom for us who were slaves to the law so that He could adopt us as His very own children. And because we are His children, God has sent the Spirit of His Son into our hearts, prompting us to call out, 'Abba, Father.'" We're to think of God not just as this far-off judge, but as daddy. That's what Abba means. He's become your daddy. "Now you're no longer a slave, but God's own child. And since you are His child, God has made you His heir." There's this lineage talk. We are part of this family. So as we learn about our spiritual family tree, we learn about ourselves and our relationship to our Heavenly Father, which affects how we see and understand our origin story. Without acknowledging our origin stories, earthly and spiritual, we kind of doom ourselves to be controlled by our past or to be blown around in the present. There's an origin story that speaks to this a little bit. I'm going to go back to my love of movies. If we can hear some caution and about our origin, Heather, please.
"Fear is the path to the dark side. Fear leads to anger. Anger leads to hate. Hate leads to suffering."
Okay, so Yoda in this scene, thank you for humoring me here. Yoda in this scene is talking to a young Anakin Skywalker who, I mean, if you've watched, you've had 40 years to watch the movie, so I can't even say spoiler alert here. If you haven't seen him, then it's not on me. Anakin grows up to become Darth Vader, and Yoda's trying to warn him. Here's a kid who grew up as a slave without a dad, and he has fear that he's going to lose his mom. Fear is going to lead him to anger, and anger is going to lead him to hatred, and he's going to become Darth Vader. Now, I read a psychologist's take on Yoda's insight here, because that's what I do. And the psychologist said, really, what's true about this is not just the fear and leading to this situation where Anakin wants to control situations, where he starts a pattern of power and control so that he won't lose the things that he's afraid to lose. But this psychologist said that it's not fear that leads to anger and anger that leads to hatred and hatred that causes suffering. It's unconscious fear, unconscious anger, unconscious hatred, unconscious suffering. It's the things that we don't acknowledge, the things that are in the background. It's the unacknowledged patterns that we carry with us that get us into trouble. Once you acknowledge your fears, once you acknowledge your anger, once you acknowledge what you're carrying with you, then you can make a decision to do something about it. But if we live a life without acknowledging what we're carrying with us, we're really just deciding to be thrown about by whatever circumstances we find ourselves in. So while reading through our scriptural lineage, we're going to see fear and anger and hatred and suffering. And that's for us going to become an opportunity to become conscious about our own experience, our own spiritual lineage, our own family lineage. In many important ways, we're not all that different from our spiritual ancestors. Certainly, we have a need for God's salvation in common with one another. Jude, one of the siblings of Jesus, what a tough gig that had to be. Jude warns early disciples about false teachers who claim authority from their own dreams, from their own experience. He talks to these early followers of Jesus about their spiritual heritage, and he compares it to the lineage and the heritage of these false teachers, of people who would add to the message of the apostles based on their own experience, even when it contradicted what the apostles were saying is true about Christ. Jude chapter 1, starting in verse 11, of these false teachers, Jude says, "What sorrow awaits them, for they follow in the footsteps of Cain." He's going all the way back to Genesis, to the Old Testament. "Follow in the footsteps of Cain, who killed his brother. Like Balaam, they deceive people for money, and like Korah, they perish in their rebellion." These are all people we can read about in the Old Testament and understand exactly what Jude is saying. We can go back to the root and understand what's happening today based on what happened back in the day. Verse 12, "When these people eat with you in your fellowship meals commemorating the Lord's love, they're like dangerous reefs that can shipwreck you. They are like shameless shepherds who care only for themselves. They're like clouds blowing over the land without giving any rain. They're like trees in autumn that are doubly dead, for they bear no fruit and have been pulled up by the roots." We do not want to be a people who bear no fruit. We do not want to be a people who are pulled up by the roots. We are called to be a people whose roots go down deep into Christ. We are called to be a people who see the fruit of the Holy Spirit in our lives. We are called to be a people who fulfill the blessing that God gave to Abraham, where he said, "You will bless all the families in the world. Every nation will be blessed through you." We are to be the fulfillment of that promise, and we're invited into that by Jesus Christ. He forgave our sinful past. He brings us into a new family tree, adopts us as his own, so that rather than being afraid of God, oh yes, we fear him. As a child fears a father, it's a healthy fear. And yet, when we're in danger, when we're afraid, we can call out to him as our daddy. These are our roots. This is where we came from. Grafted into a tree whose roots go all the way down to Adam and Eve, created in the image of God in order to glorify him. During this series, we're going to connect with our own origin stories. We're going to be fed from our spiritual roots in Scripture. I invite you to pick up the small group homework. We've got some copies of it in the back. You can find it online at newdaywi.com. Even if you're not currently in a small group, just filling out, you know, answering some of those questions takes you deeper into the material. It causes you to think about and apply God's Word to your life. And you can do that on an individual basis. This can become talking points that you have with a friend over coffee, or get involved in a small group. Grab the small group homework, download it at newdaywi.com, and begin acknowledging the impact that the roots from your past have on the fruit that God is growing in you today. Let's pray. God, as we take a moment to acknowledge that we're not just individuals who came from nowhere, that we have in origin, that we have people who raised us, we have people who taught us, we have patterns that are built into our lives. We pray, God, with gratitude that we don't have to be slaves to those patterns. That to the extent that those patterns are unhealthy, we are freed by Jesus Christ. We're grateful for that. We're grateful, God, that you have also given us healthy patterns in our life. You've been merciful to us by putting people around us who help us make decisions that are honoring to you. And God, to that extent, we pray that those roots would grow strong, that they'd be rooted deeply in our relationship with Jesus Christ. I pray that we would be a people who are fed by our spiritual heritage and who produce a fruit that is beautiful to anyone who will receive it, that is nourishing to this community, and that is honoring to you. Let that be the legacy we develop and we leave. For your glory and for our benefit, in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.